This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I don't watch a lot of game shows. I used to. When I was little, I liked watching Card Sharks. That's where they would show a queen, and you would have to say higher or lower, and then you'd go lower, and then it would be a 2, and you'd go higher, and then it would be a 3, and you go higher, and then it'd be like a 7, and then you'd say, oh, no, it's a 7. Is it higher or lower? And you go higher, and then you get a 4, and then you'd lose the whole thing. And they'd be like, and then there's that wah, wah, wah song, and then you're like, oh, man. And I would watch The Price is Right. The Price is Right I loved, because, you know, I'm like, man, for $5,000 I could get a car. I watched Price is Right a long, long time ago. Or you could have a trip to Waikiki. And I thought the models were pretty. I thought Bob Barker was so cool, and I wanted to spin the wheel. But I was really, really worried that I would not have a proper bra. Because, you know, you jump up and down, and then you run, and things are just bouncing all over the place. So I didn't really want to be on The Price is Right, but I was good at it. What I was not good at was Jeopardy. Jeopardy was a tough game. The Newlywed Game. Oh, my gosh. I used to watch the Newlywed Game. I was really good at that because I just knew what would always tick off the wife. That was, you know, I was like, I can figure that out. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. Come on. So Newlywed Game I was good at, but Jeopardy couldn't do. And one of the reasons why Jeopardy is hard, see, Jeopardy screams out those of us that aren't very academic. You'd think I'm academic with all the years of schooling, but I don't want to use the word smart. Yeah. But they screen out people like me because you can't just look at the question and shout out an answer. You have to, in the form of a question, answer in the form of a question. That's just too confusing for me. Now, so an animal with four legs would be the clue. I mean, much harder than that. And you're supposed to say, what is a dog? Yes, you're right. Very good. Next category. So, and we miss Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek left us after, I believe, suffering from pancreatic cancer. So, they have these guest hosts now. And one got into a little bit of trouble. In fact, Jeopardy itself got into a little bit of trouble. Because one of their questions, shall we say, under plain-named maladies, really upset a lot of people with a medical condition. So the question or the box said, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome is also known as Grinch syndrome because this organ is too small. I guess the person was supposed to answer heart, and it just blew up. So what's going on here? So they're talking about POTS syndrome. POTS is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And POTS is a condition where your autonomic nervous system, controls a lot of your bodily functions that you don't consciously. So it'll control blood flow and heartbeat and breathing and things like that. And so there's something that is off. We still don't know all the reasons for people who have POTS, but where they have a blood flow issue. And with that lack of, you know, strong blood flow, and again, I'm trying to kind of simplify it, people could be dizzy. They could feel like they're about to faint. When they stand up, you know, they could be sitting down fine, and then as soon as they stand up, orthostatic, they start to get a racing heart. They could feel nauseous. They could have tremors. They could have chest pain, headache. We've even seen some patients have discolored legs. Well, back in 2010, there were some scientists who wrote an article in the, I believe, the Journal of American cardiology, and they wanted to coin it Grinch syndrome because the patients they were studying had a heart size that was smaller. And they said, well, the Grinch had a heart, you know, his heart was two sizes smaller, whatever, in a Dr. Seuss book. So they actually thought it could go viral, where they're going to call it Grinch syndrome, and, you know, everybody will be like, oh, wow, you coined a great term. When I heard that term, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to call my patient Grinch. I think that's ridiculous. No, it's POTS. It's going to stay as POTS. And I think the average physician and clinician was like, no, we're not going to go there. But they said, it seems reasonable to offer POTS a new name based on its underlying pathophysiology, the Grinch syndrome, because of this famous children's book by Dr. Seuss. The main character had a heart that was two sizes too small. And then they doubled down on it later. We therefore propose the name the Grinch syndrome to focus on this pathophysiology, a smaller heart coupled with reduced blood volume compared with healthy controls. So not everybody with POTS has a small heart. The heart may atrophy because you're not getting enough blood back to the heart. It might not have to pump as much, so like a muscle. You know, rather than you lifting 50-pound weights, if you're only lifting 5-pound weights, you might not build the muscle or keep the muscle up, but that doesn't mean they're Grinches. And I get what the doctors are trying to do, or the scientists, I get that. Researchers, they wanted to, you know, be cute, and they wanted to have something memorable and a way for us to remember things. You know, I mean, remember I told you in school, one way I learned chronic myelogenous leukemia is there's a Philadelphia chromosome link. So CML, camel, I would remember it for the test as a camel going to Philadelphia with plates on its humps because CML could also affect platelets. I understand you might want to try to remember something for your medical boards, and I get that. But to try to make something go viral where it already gets to Jeopardy, where Samantha Guthrie is, you know, reading off this, you know, Grinch syndrome thing, it just didn't work. In fact, Twitter went crazy. Dysautonomia International really went after them. Said, can you imagine Jeopardy making light of cancer or MS patients with a, quote, funny name for their debilitating health condition? Not acceptable. Would love to see real questions about the autonomic nervous system. And actually said, promoted outdating misogynistic terms to describe a debilitating nervous system disorder that impacts millions. Not cool. They request an apology. So Jeopardy did respond. They did apologize. But we do have some issues in medicine where there are some terms still being used that shouldn't be. We come back, we're going to talk about that. Don't go away. 1-877-DOC-TELLY. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, who's working the dials. Yay! And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So you're going to notice that in every industry, there is going to be some terminology that might make you take a double step and go, wait a second, are we still able to use that and say that? And I don't know if you remember, but during the pandemic in 2020, NASA had said they were going to reevaluate some of their terminology because some of it could be offensive. So some of the terminology they were talking about was the Eskimo Nebula. Now, I don't know much about space and planets. I know the Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Saturn. Wait, my very educated mother just served us my pizzas. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Mother, Jupiter, just Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Those are all the planets I learned. Those are all the planets I know of still. I didn't realize there's many more. But apparently, NASA was referring to planetary nebula NGC 2392 as the Eskimo Nebula. It was a glowing, sun-like star, so maybe they thought it would look like an... I don't know why. But Eskimo, according to NASA, is reviewed as a colonial term with a racist history imposed on the indigenous people of the Arctic regions. So many official documents have moved away from that. NASA also is not going to use the term Siamese Twins Galaxy to refer to NGC 4567 or NGC 4568. That's a pair of spiral galaxies found in the Virgo Galaxy Cluster. So moving forward, and this was last summer, they said they are just going to use the International Astronomical Union designations for these terms. So terms like black hole, things like that might be reassessed to see if they are possibly offensive. In fact, in the news today, I believe there's a class in Cornell, a new course called Black Holes, Race, and the Cosmos. And they say conventional wisdom would have it that the black and black holes has nothing to do with race. They say surely there could be no connection between the cosmos and the deal of racial blackness, can there? So theorists such as Michelle Wright, Denise Ferreira de Silva are apparently looking at this, and there's a course that students can take. And so I guess black holes got their name, and I love looking at science here. They were predicted and explained apparently by Albert Einstein in 1915 with his theory of general relativity. And then they were expanded on, this is according to Daily Mail, by the German astronomer Karl Schwarzschild. And Einstein didn't describe them as black holes, and he hadn't seen one. But his theory was that there were portions of space where gravity was so strong that they actually swallowed light. And he specified how stars could collapse into them and then disappear, and then their brightness gone. Some say even British scientist John Mitchell predicted them back in the 1700s. He referred to a dark star and how the speed of light and mass of a star would affect how bright it was. But we didn't really use the term black hole, I guess, until the 60s. Edgar Allan Poe, they say, referred to dungeons as black holes. I mean, so there's been apparently certain, I guess, you know, different references, but it wasn't a term we widely used until the 60s. But then again, that's also when a lot of our research in terms of space and in terms of describing things. And so, we had just talked about Jeopardy and Grinch Syndrome, and, you know, and we kind of look at this going, okay, now this could be an absolute mess because there's a lot of terms out there. Human, right? Mankind, menstruation. I don't know about menstruation, but still, you know, there's a lot of terms out there that might just completely have to be reformatted. And my guess is what happened with science, and this is something that I understand the need to reevaluate, is science has its own language. If you read to me this NGC 2382, I know it stands for something, I know it's something astronomical, but goes over my head. When you try to explain to me something going on in space, I just don't get it. But when you turn around and use a term for it that's a little bit more, general, I don't want to use the term colloquial. You have two things that look identical, you know, identical twins. You'll then allow non-scientists to understand your work. That's kind of what I guess was going on with the Grinch Syndrome and POTS. POTS just seemed too scientific, too out there, too difficult for somebody to say. So, you know what, let's just kind of call it Grinch Syndrome. Same thing with porphyrias. Yeah, it's the vampire syndrome. Well, no, we don't want to call people with porphyria vampires just because they may be pale, they may blister in the sunlight, they might crave raw meat, or, you know, rare meat because they're anemic. Don't be calling them names. But these terms help people learning about it, sadly, identify. So maybe that's the thing. If you're going to try to bring science or dumb science down to something I could understand, then, you know, maybe use a term that doesn't, you know, don't necessarily try to have something go viral where that's just what we're going to call it. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'm like, okay, there's a black hole. It's a hole, it's black, and it, you know, but, you know, sadly, there are, you know, offensive terms in science and medicine. I talked to you guys about in medicine how there's doctors asking for things to be reevaluated. For example, globus hystericus. Globus hystericus was a condition I learned about in school where apparently a woman becomes hysterical because she doesn't have enough estrogen. And she feels like that she's being choked and she's not being choked. It's a globus feeling and you give them estrogen and they seem to get better. Well, lately, they've changed that term to a globus sensation and getting rid of hist, the hysteria aspect of it. I don't know if I agree with a lot of the changes recommended. You know, apparently there was, I believe, a professor in Australia that didn't like that a lot of the medical terms were named after men. But the problem with that is, like, the Whipple procedure. If it was developed by Dr. Whipple, he should get credit. You know? I mean, if I come up with an abscess, and it's a Dahlia abscess, it's going to probably be named after me. That's just what happens. And I wouldn't mind it. I really wouldn't mind it. But, yeah, there are some things that could be, you know, considered offensive. So, you know, does the Achilles tendon really have to be named after Achilles? It was a Greek mythical legend. Did he discover it? Can you come up with another band? And, you know, for the tendon by the heel. The thing is a lot of people are like, I like that it's called the Achilles tendon. I could remember anatomy. But you try to have me remember the anterior collateral ligament, medial collateral ligament of knees, I'm not going to remember it. So people use terms to help them remember and understand and just kind of bridge that gap between academia or science and just common speech. Hysteria comes from woman's womb. It's terminology that I think that might go away. Somebody might say, well, rather than a hysterectomy, let's call it a uterectomy. That I don't think is that bad because people are already mixing up what a hysterectomy is. So you'll have women that will have a hysterectomy and their ovaries taken out. So they'll have a hysterectomy and a bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy. And they'll just call it a hysterectomy. And I'm like, but wait a second here. What, do you still have your ovaries? So I had taught medical students what I would do is I'd say a TAH, a total abdominal hysterectomy, right, or total vaginal hysterectomy, whatever you had done, and BSO, either the ovaries, the bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy, or SHO, still has ovaries. Because a woman will say, I had a hysterectomy, but you're still trying to figure out which parts are left. But if you just say uterectomy, that makes sense. But on the flip side, I guess Dr. Kristen Small wants more practical terms. She doesn't like eponyms from a quote-unquote dead man. But I disagree in that if a man discovered something, like Dr. Alan Whipple discovered the Whipple procedure, it could be called the Whipple procedure. We might not use it that much anymore. Maybe, I mean, we do use it to remove the head of the pancreas and pancreatic cancer, but if there's other sorts of treatments, we might not use it. But you don't have to necessarily wipe his name out if he's the one that developed it. Same thing with the Alice clamp. The Alice clamp was designed after Dr. Oscar Huntington Alice. Alice clamp and forceps are great, but, you know, do we have to... Valsalva from Antonio Maria Valsalva. So, John Langdon Down syndrome. So I think we could still keep those names if somebody, you know, somebody discovered it. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92. $5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is set to outline his strategy today to keep the nation safe in a major speech. Crime has been soaring over the last 18 months, with more than 300 people killed in Chicago just alone this year. This after many Democrats were calling for the police to be defunded or reimagined. As far as what he believes is the issue, former Detroit Police Chief James Craig tells Fox News,
"No, we don't have a gun problem in the country. What we have is a criminal problem, and we need to address that."
AAA is predicting holiday travel around the 4th of July will return to pre-pandemic levels, with a 40% increase over last year when many people were stuck at home due to the pandemic. The Automobile Association saying 47 million Americans are expected to drive or fly between July 1st and the 5th. USA Radio News. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced his support for an independent review commission's recommended changes to the legal process for sexual harassment and assault claims in the military. During a hearing with the House Armed Services Committee, Austin assures Congress won't be left in the dark on any changes made.
"We are prepared to work with Congress to amend the Uniform Code of Military Justice in this regard. The IRC also recommended the inclusion of other special victims crimes inside this independent prosecution system, to include domestic violence, and I support this as well."
News continuing to come out of the Supreme Court, the court striking down union organizers' right to visit farm workers in fields, ruling a California regulation providing access violated property rights. The court also ruling that a Pennsylvania school district overstepped its authority by punishing a high school cheerleader who used a vulgar word on Snapchat when she didn't make the varsity cheerleading team. USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALLY, 1-877-DOCDALLY. So we have some more breaking news. It's just a busy day. It looks like everything is just happening now. It always seems to happen kind of at the end of June where all this news comes out, whether it's the Supreme Court rulings or whatever. So remember, the CDC was supposed to on Friday talk about the possible myocarditis heart inflammation link with young adults and teens with the mRNA vaccine, and it got put off till the 23rd to the 25th. So it looks like they did start to meet, and they are slowly looking at the data and giving us some insight. And they have actually acknowledged that there is likely a link between the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine and the rare numbers of heart issues they're seeing in some teens and adolescents. So your question probably is, now what? Well, this is very preliminary. I think they looked at about 484 reports. They still have more to go. And they're looking at all of these cases to see how many of them actually were mRNA related. And I talked to you about how difficult a job that is. Myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, happens, and I think can happen already in you know, one in, was it 100,000 kids? It's rare, but it could already happen. It could also happen with a viral illness. And so what makes looking at vaccine side effects so difficult is you and I as a parent, you know, or even as a clinician, might say, person came in for a shot, I gave them the shot, the next day or the next week or 2 weeks later, they had this reaction. And on paper, it looks like a slam dunk. But if that person went out with some buddies, went to fast food, could have been exposed to COVID, could have come down with COVID 3 days later, had some seasoned coughing, then later, a few days after that, starts having some chest pain, how do you tell if it was an immune response a couple weeks after the shot or a possible viral cause? And so it's, you know, parents are like, I know my kid has had colds before, they haven't had chest pain or trouble breathing or any signs of myocarditis before. But for a CDC or a government agency to come out and say, look, this shot can do that, they have to be super sure. And that is why parents are very frustrated when they report side effects with their kids, because they're like, this never happened to my kid before. I know my kid, and I trust parents. In fact, I mean, I will take a parent's word for something a lot more than I think the average clinician, because I get that. That parent is with that kid all the time, I'm assuming, if the kid's home with the parent. But unfortunately, in science and in medicine, you really do need proof, because there could be a lot of other issues. Remember I told you I had a nurse that knocked on my door when I was with a patient saying, Dr. Wax, we have a patient reporting a side effect of a medication. So I asked the patient to wait. I came out and said, yeah, what's going on? And they said that they have a rash, or no, that they got a side effect to the diabetic medication I wrote them the day before. And what do? And go, have them come on. Everybody's going to have to go to the hospital. It's not emergent. Come on. Come and see me. But what was the side effect? They have a rash on their neck. I go, bring them in, but tell them not to stop their diabetes medicine. Turned out they were starting shingles. But they took the diabetes medication just coincidentally, 24 hours before, and thought that that was causing shingles. Shingles is a reactivation of the chickenpox virus. Now, maybe the stress of being diagnosed with diabetes could have caused it to come out, but that wasn't a side effect of the medication. So that's why we in medicine have to be very cautious about calling something a side effect. So for when it comes to mRNA vaccines, they're very new. We haven't had mRNA vaccines. So when you have an uptick in people having cardiac inflammation, I think all hands need to be on deck, and I think people have to have open minds and be ready to appreciate the fact that there might be a link. So far, of the 484 preliminary reports that happened after 30,000, I think, there were, I believe, millions of people who got the shot. I apologize. I don't have the numbers of how many kids got the shot. But they said of those, the CDC advisory panel suggested a likely link between mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. The COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Technical Work Group, or VAST, presented during the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices meeting today and said the data available to date suggests likely association of myocarditis with mRNA vaccination in adults and young adults. It most often appears after the second dose. They say it does not appear that mRNA vaccines may be a new trigger for myocarditis. but it does have some different characteristics. So Dr. Tom Shimbakuro is deputy director of the Immunization Safety Office at the CDC, noted 484 preliminary reports of myocarditis and pericarditis among vaccinated people under 30 as of June 11th. Now, there were 27 million doses. So you see how narrow. I mean, that's less, way less than 1 in a million. But, well, actually, maybe a little more, but that's a whole other story. But they said of those, 323 met the CDC's case definitions for myocarditis and pericarditis. 300 of 9 were hospitalized. 295 got to go home. 79% recovered, but 9 had to remain in the hospital. 2 in intensive care. 14 weren't hospitalized. So they say we are observing this in younger age groups, mainly in people in the teens, early 20s, and observing it in males compared more to females. Chest pain is usually the first symptom, and then difficulty breathing. So they're still investigating. It's still early, but you're probably going, well, now what? We're being told that schools are going to mandate it. We're being told the colleges are going to mandate it. What is the CDC going to say? I don't think we're going to get there yet. I don't even think we're going to get there this week. I think they are at least acknowledging that they have to look at it, and they are going to have to make an upcoming recommendation. My guess is the recommendation would be very similar to what the Johnson & Johnson saying, look, we're finding a link with blood clots. That doesn't mean don't get it, but talk to your doctor. So they might, you know, come forward and say, look, if you think you have a male child that could be at risk, maybe give them the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because we're seeing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the low risk of clots more in females. So we might see something like that. You know, I personally, you know, I mean, with my family, we got the Pfizer vaccine. And, yeah, I prayed and, you know, hoped that we wouldn't get a side effect. And it can happen with any vaccine. It can happen with any medication. But I just felt that the statistics were still in our favor. And sadly, we're seeing people get blood clots with COVID. And we're seeing people get myocarditis and heart disease with COVID. So, in fact, we're seeing POTS syndrome that we talked about earlier. So we know that COVID could affect the heart. And so it was a risk that I know I was willing to take. And I spoke with my kids about it, a risk that they were willing to take. Let's do the shot and just pray. So, personally, I am still recommending vaccine, but I am hoping the CDC gives us some guidance on maybe why the myocarditis could be happening. Is it because there's some substrate in these vaccines? Is it because we're giving them as a 1-2 punch, and maybe we need to spread it out a little bit? Let the immune system kind of quiet down after the first shot. Let some recovery happen, then give the next shot. Maybe the Pfizer or the Moderna, because it's 3 or 4 weeks apart, boom, it's just priming the immune system too much. Maybe kids don't need 2 shots. Maybe they just need the 1. This is something that has to be studied. Understand there's emergency approval from the FDA for kids to get the 2 shots. But it would be really interesting to see the studies. Maybe kids just need the 1. Something to look at. 1-877-DOCTOR, don't go away.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. I am very excited about the Olympics. I am very, very excited about the Olympics. And I know there's a lot of debate on how safe it would be. And the Olympics was something that was immediately postponed. They didn't postpone the election, which I think maybe should have been done if they were that worried about
the pandemic and not having a system in place to, you know, make sure there would be no fraud and, you know, everybody at least getting a ballot and not getting two ballots. But I understand they want to move forward with the election, but they didn't move forward with the Olympics. And they moved the 2020 Olympics to 2021. And Tokyo had spent millions of dollars. There's been much anticipation. And so I think a lot of us not only want the Tokyo Olympics to see people compete, but because we're kind of want to move on, the Tokyo Olympics not being done is almost a remnant of us having to put things off. So I think people are like, let's just get this over with, right? So at least we can overstep that hurdle and look forward to the next Olympics, which are going to probably come on. Is it going to be 6 or 8 months later? Don't we have the Winter Olympics coming up in 2022? So, yeah, we're going to have to get a move on. So, apparently, an advisor for the Japanese government said, if we're going to hold the Tokyo Olympics, no fans. No fans. Dr. Shigeru Omi's recommendation seems to put him at odds with organizers and the International Olympic Committee. And the Olympics is opening in just 5 weeks on July 23rd. Fans from abroad have been banned, as you know, for months. Organizers are to announce early next week if at least some fans could be allowed. They say, we believe the risk of infection inside the venue would be lowest by holding the event with no fans. That's according to the report, which was compiled by a group of 26 experts led by Dr. Omi, a former World Health Organization official. It has been submitted to the government and Olympic officials. It's not law, but it's something they need to take into account. Now, there have been some reports that the government wants to allow up to 10,000 people at some sports and cultural events. The policy is expected to be applied to the Olympics with smaller ceilings at smaller venues and differences for indoor and outdoor venues. Dr. Omi says, we believe it would be most desirable not to have fans inside the venues. Regardless of holding the Olympics or not, Japan has continuing risks of a resurgence of the infection that puts pressure on the medical systems. And so fans could be at increased risk, they say, and not only there, but afterward as people exit. He said the Olympics easily get more attention from the public than other sport events, and it's going to be likely to trigger more movements and more partying. Again, what makes this very, very difficult is Tokyo holding the Olympics can only get their money back if there are people coming to Tokyo, if there are people purchasing food from the vendors, if there are people staying in the hotels. The Olympics makes money based on the fans and the tourists. So this might be enough to almost make them want to put it off again. I don't think they would, but they had to put it off because it was a pandemic. Fans couldn't come. So now it's, okay, well, only Olympians can compete and without fans. So Seiko Hashimoto, the president of the local organizing committee, said the final decision on fans was going to be made Monday in a meeting with organizers, the IOC, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, the Japanese government, and the International Paralympic Committee. Hashimoto said if Tokyo does decide to allow fans, the rules are going to have to be much stricter than for half-filled stadiums in Japan for baseball or soccer. She also said organizers would have to be ready to suddenly ban local fans if conditions change. Well, with a decree like that or a suggestion like that, if you had a flight to Tokyo and you're thinking that it's going to get canceled, and you're, you know, or you won't be able to travel back, or if you think you're going to be at risk, you might just not go. So already that's devastating. And I think there's going to be at some point where if they finally get this right a week or two before, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference because there's people who have already canceled their plans. Hashimoto said Dr. Omi has indicated that ideally the best way to hold games is without spectators. But if we are to hold games without spectators, Dr. Omi also had his recommendations. So I think those recommendations are making sure that there's ventilation every 30 minutes. I don't have the list of recommendations, but you know, making sure people are still wearing masks, no cheering, clapping, or I'm not sure what his list of recommendations are. Ticket sales, however, were supposed to account for $800 million in income. It's going to be lost. Government entities are going to have to make up the shortfall. Organizers say 3.6 million to 3.7 million tickets are still held by residents of Japan. 800,000 tickets were returned locally. The total number of tickets originally announced for the Olympics was supposed to be 7.8 million. What is this costing Tokyo? $15.4 billion. Government audits think it's going to be higher. $6.7 billion of that is public money. The IOC wants to push ahead with Tokyo, partly because it depends on broadcast rights for sales and 75% of its income. Sponsors supply about 18% of that. And so you also wonder why this is a big deal, is what about future Olympics? If COVID doesn't go away, and here comes the Delta variant, and people aren't getting their booster shots, and this is going to be our attitude towards sports and Olympics, then who's going to want to host the next Olympics? And let me see what the future Olympic sites are going to be. And I apologize, I forget. Okay, Paris 2024. Let me see if we have any more. We should have. I have all the old ones. Beijing was supposed to be, I believe, 2022. So, I mean, is Beijing going to, you know, move forward? I don't even know if people are going to go if they're mad at Beijing and mad at China. So, I apologize. I just don't have. Yeah, the 2022 Winter Olympics is supposed to be in Beijing. That's coming up. That's going to be 8 months from now. So how are we doing with Delta variants and COVID? Well, according to Dr. Fauci, the Delta variant was originally about 9.9% of the cases. They say within 2 weeks, it doubled to 20% of the cases. So they say the proportion of Delta variant coronavirus cases in the U.S. doubled in 2 weeks. Dr. Fauci, at a press briefing, said the variant is the, quote, greatest threat to the U.S. efforts to eliminate COVID-19. The Delta variant now makes up 20.6% of current COVID-19 cases. Now, those are of the cases being tested. I'm telling you right now, people I'm telling to go and get tested for COVID, they're telling me they're not going to. So when I have somebody call in with cold-like symptoms, sore throat, headaches, body aches, fatigue, I go, it could be COVID. They go, nope, I was vaccinated, I'm not going. So I can't tell you that that 20.6% is completely accurate. May 22, only 2.7% of the cases were caused by the Delta variant. So again, but then again, I mean, were people testing? So who's doing most of the testing? Well, the testing could be, you know, work. Work could be testing when there's a positive case. But the CDC said they're not really going to investigate the mild cases of vaccinated individuals. I don't know if they've changed their mind now they're trying to figure out how common the Delta variant is. So, there has been some reports that the vaccines work. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer. It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer. Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with me.